Welcome today to an interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Elizabeth Vandervelde and Jen L'Esperance, international technology leaders who are sharing their vision for collaboration, driving passion in IT for all ages, enabling young women into IT, and much, much more. Elizabeth and Jen, thank you for sharing your deep experiences and insights with our audience.
Hey, this is Jen, and it's a great pleasure. Thank you, Stephen, for inviting us.
Can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourselves and your prior and current roles, and what lessons can you pass on from each of your prior and current roles?
Hi, Stephen. It's Elizabeth. I would like to take that question first. I have been the co-founder of a IT business called Conomix International, and we're closing in on our 25th year of business right now. My role in that company has changed drastically over the years. I had started out basically on the administrative side of this business and have basically turned into a technology specialist, and I work exclusively with basically our entire customer base, which is for the most part in Canada, but we have outreach on a global basis. Currently, I serve as chair on the IMCP, which is the International Association of Microsoft Certified Professionals, as their chair for Community and Corporate Citizenship International. I'm also chair of Community and Corporate Citizenship Canada. I've served on the international board currently for about 2.5 years, and I'm also the co-founder of Women in Leadership and Technology in Canada, which turned into an international role and has been taking on growth from there ever since. I'm the only female right now to serve on those boards until recently, and that's probably because I made it such an issue when I got on the board to start this whole process. And I'm currently a speaker at WPC, the Worldwide Partner Conference for Microsoft. I speak at TechEd. I spoke at SMB Nation, and I've also been leading several fundraising events with the Microsoft Partner Community. A little bit closer to home, I'm involved, have been over the years, because I have 3 children on school committees. I've done that for each of my children. I've served on central parent committees at the school board level. I've served at high school level on boards as well, and especially on planning committees, funny enough, around information technology. Big surprise there. As a mother, funny enough, I've been a coach for boys baseball. I've been a team leader on my karate squad that we've ended up competing internationally, and I've been very visible parent, as has been my partner at my children's sports and school events. And I think the biggest advice I would probably have based on my experiences and the roles that I have is to definitely pick one thing that you're most passionate about and run with it. I've gotten myself involved in so many different committees, you know, even the Microsoft the MVP community. I've been an SBSC partner area lead for Canada for a couple years with Microsoft as well. Those have been all great experiences, but now what I'm trying to do, because everybody's time is so very limited, is to pick the one thing that really drives me to get up in the morning besides my business, and that really seems to be everything around youth, young girls, and technology. And in doing so, that's where now I see my role having changed from somebody who's been a learner as somebody who's trying to be more of a mentor.
So this is Jen. Right now I'm a present full-time student at Dawson College in the psychology program. In high school, I played an active role in sports, community service, and my honorable status. At the same time, I achieved my IMCP and this past summer my MCPS certification. At the moment, I'm part of the production crew of Gen Inc. as well as its host and co-founder. As far as lessons, with high school completed, I can certainly recommend that you give it your all, and that working within your community is a very important and satisfying part of that experience. Starting college, I can also say that time and dedication is truly required for all matters, but never to forget the time you should spend with your friends, because they put a smile on your face when midterms don't. That's definitely what I have to say.
What were the 3 biggest challenges you had to overcome in the past, and what mistakes did you make, and what would you do differently today?
Elizabeth, I'll take that first. I think now having been in this industry and having had a career that wasn't really, I would consider, typical, I think it's very important that women realize that you have to be valued for what you bring to, whether it's a job, a team, a project, and not to expect or accept gender as a detrimental factor. I think very early on, one of the things that happened to me quite often is that because I was a woman, people would just assume that I wasn't, you know, the founder of the company, or that I, you know, actually had the ability to make decisions, that I wasn't a decision maker within the firm. I will never forget the phone calls that I would get at times that would say, well, yes, dear, it's very nice, thank you very much, but could we speak to your boss? And I would have to explain to them that I actually was one of the owners of the company, to which we usually had a few crickets, after which they apologized and they treated me very differently. I think that goes back to a time when women just weren't seen as entrepreneurial, and I think that's changed drastically right now, but I think that was a huge challenge. Walking into conferences, even walking into an MVP conference where still, you know, the vast majority of people there are male, I don't let that sit as a barrier for me whatsoever. In fact, what I found, because I've been so vocal and so have been a lot of my peers, that, you know, this whole gender issue has really disappeared. And in fact, the men really appreciate what we bring to the table, the different thinking, the different styles of work, the different attitudes, and, you know, the fact that we multitask in a very different way than our male counterparts. They've actually seen that as a huge benefit now. And that's taking some education on the part of the female, I guess, IT community, if you will. I wish I'd been a little bit more vocal a lot sooner, but I think that whole issue has now ramped up to the point where, you know, the current generation doesn't even see gender at all. And when they look at people and they look people in the IT industry, gender isn't even the first factor that comes into their mind whatsoever anymore. And in fact, I have a lot of gentlemen that I've spoken to through some of the seminars that we've done have actually asked to speak up because they say that they have such high regard for the women within their organization because they're so good at what they do and because they bring a different perspective. In fact, some of them are very upset that they can't find more women within the industry to hire because they do just that good a job. You know, probably the other biggest challenge has been time management, because again, this industry has changed so drastically over the last 25 years. You know, when I look at what we started off as simple networking technology to the plethora of software products, applications, it's been a huge learning curve, but at the same time, the expectations of those that are not within the industry, you know, it's put a lot of strain on a lot of the people that have been in this industry for so many decades, and probably more so maybe for women, which is why over the years the studies have shown more recently, and which is something we're trying to change, that, you know, women at the far end of the career scale, those that have such a wealth of experience that would make great mentors for women coming up through the ranks, are actually leaving the industry. And for us, that's a serious issue. That's a huge challenge, and I do want to see that change, and that's basically what we're still striving to do and will continue to strive to do. And I think that will make a big difference going forward, especially since we know that this is such a huge industry for the Canadian market.
This is Jen, and a challenge I faced occurred earlier this year when I ended up in the hospital during my March break of my final year in high school. It was difficult to return with the issues I was still facing and to hold the same grades I'd started off with at the beginning of the year. But thanks to my family and friends, I pushed through till the end and was extremely pleased to find out that I had not only gotten honor roll, but in addition, the awards for English and Economics. Another challenge was, it kind of just was little obstacles, because I was lucky that my parents put me in a position early in life to compete in martial arts, and it meant taking part in competitions, passing belt exams, and especially being part of a team. We all played several other sports, took part in theater, modeling, and acting. We're learning to handle ourselves, handle rejection, and work well with others. Happened before we understood what stress was, because they made it fun. So it helped us deal with whatever issues we did face, and I really appreciate what my parents have done in that area and helping me through these challenges that I faced.
You know, it's interesting, Elizabeth, you talk about sort of some of the challenges that you encountered, and maybe we could term that unconscious bias, in a sense, and without people even knowing it. So I'd be interested in your perspective on unconscious bias versus Jen's perspective on unconscious bias, and maybe there's a difference in the magnitude. Has that changed over the years, do you think?
I would say it's changed tremendously over the years. I think probably more recently in the last couple years. And what has made me realize that was a couple sessions that we did at the Microsoft World Partner Conference, where I actually sought out some of my board members on the IMCP, and I said, you know, here's the topic, you know, what do you think about this? And then, you know, some of the answers I got, I'll never forget my friend Maurizio in Brazil. His firm is one of the top IT firms in the country, and he says 70% of his managers are women. And he says, I said, well, you know, why is that? I thought that number was hugely interesting. And he said, women are extremely well organized. They know how to, you know, task everything correctly and get the job done. He says they're also great at working with people and helping them, you know, manage small or big issues, because they probably do that within their own lives as well, within their families. So he says that nurturing that women have, he says, is actually a huge benefit. And he says he also appreciates their intellectual thinking that is so very different from his own. And he actually calls upon these same women, you know, in particular situations when he's trying to figure out, say, how to work with a customer that might be, say, a woman that's making the decisions as opposed to a man. And actually his firm has won 3 years in a row the top award for a workplace for women. So that has to say something about the thinking that has changed in the male sector, if you will, of this industry and probably overall. And I got that same answer from several gentlemen. Even more so, what I thought was very interesting was the way that they perceived that the industry should be adapting itself to make sure that women stay within it and that women are able, you know, because unfortunately we're the only ones that can bear children right now, that you know, companies make sure that they don't lose that amazing talent that they already have, and that they find ways, you know, to continue to keep that person within part of the organization, you know, while respecting the time that they need off. So we've seen huge advances, and I'd say this has probably been within the last 5 years, absolutely amazing advances in the way that, you know, not just the industry, but government as well has realized the value that has come from having, you know, women in the sector, and the value that they bring to the industry, and how it's going to be so very important if, A, they want to keep them there, and, B, they want to encourage other women to take part. Because obviously if you run them down and burn them out, that's not a very good example for the next generation.
In my opinion, being a 16-year-old girl surrounded by other girls in college, I believe that even though the male opinion of women in technology might have changed as men are already in that career, I don't believe the fear girls have about technology has changed. Many of us actually tend to avoid entering into a profession in technology, and we tend to go off onto other things. Although, especially those in art and creative design and graphic design, they actually do end up in technology, and we met some people like that from Infusion and ED09, and we met some amazing women that were explaining to us how they actually ended up in technology and didn't even expect to be there, but can't see themselves anywhere else. The problem is that young girls still do not see themselves in technology as a career, even though they are surrounded by it all the time and are possibly even better than boys at all these different programs like social networking, especially Facebook, MySpace, working computers in general. They don't tend to see it leading anywhere, and that's where the problem is for young girls.
And yet that's exactly where the biggest, I guess, new wave is when we're talking about the web now and Web 2.0 and 3.0 and social networking. It's huge. It's at almost every conference that's going on is around that, and yet this is exactly where women fit in probably best. So this is why somebody needs to get out there and say, hey, you know, this is a playground you should be running to play into, and get in there and get involved. And unfortunately, most of the women that we've met, and fortunately in a way, because these women are the ones that are starting to speak up and take an active part in different programs that, you know, go out there to push the idea of, you know what, girls, let's take a look at this. Let's, you know, come to this camp. Let's, you know, have some fun. And their whole perspectives change on it, because these women are just so madly passionate about their careers now that if you took it away from them, you know, they would just wither and die because it means just that much to them. And yet some of them fell into it in the weirdest of ways. You know, one woman was a pharmacist for many years, and when she was passed over for a promotion, she had been taking a computer course, and she had already kind of a love of SQL databases, and now she's a SQL database specialist, and she's off doing wonderful things at a very large company, and she's now a speaker on the circuit, and she's also a mentor for young girls, too. So I think there's a huge disconnect where there really shouldn't be any at all.
That's really interesting. So, Jen, going back to you then, you know, do you come into situations where people make assumptions because you're a young woman rather than a young man?
Actually, in colleges, a ton of people, boys and girls, and I actually have, my school bag is a Windows 7 bag. And the first couple of days when I'd walk into school, I get guys like, they kind of like walk by or whatever, and I'd be on the escalator, and like, my friends would notice them turning back to look at my school bag. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, obviously, like, Windows 7 hasn't come out. Like, that's probably why they're staring at my bag, wondering how I got it and if I'm totally cool for having it. But at one point or whatever, a couple guys actually came up to me, and they're like, what do you know about Windows 7? How did you get the bag? And I was like, well, my parents ended up getting it from different conferences and whatnot. And they're like, do you actually get involved in this technology and this software? I was like, yes, absolutely. Like, I live off of it. This is my life, you know. I'm absorbed in every aspect. I'm obsessed with my cell phone. I can actually I can text without looking up. That's possibly because I went to an all-girl Catholic high school and had to stare at the teacher. And if I wasn't looking her in the eye, she would realize that I was doing something bad. But, The guys, I mean, they're surprised, but none of them are against it. It's the girls that fear something that won't happen. They fear that the guys won't be interested in them if they show the fact that they're extremely technologically aware. And it's sad in a way because guys are so, they're not biased against it. I mean, they're surprised, obviously. Like, not many girls walk around with Windows 7 bags or talking about computers, like, nonstop. But they love it. They love having somebody to, like, they love seeing what a girl's perspective is on technology. And even that, sometimes they don't even care if you're a girl. They just want to hear what you have to say because they just like talking about technology with people. It's that simple.
So that's really fascinating to get that kind of perspective, you know, from really two innovative leaders internationally. And both of you are just doing remarkable jobs. So thank you. So what triggered your interest in computing?
That's Elizabeth. Obviously, I came back from a time when, you know, Bill Gates first introduced Windows into the world, and I fell into that one very strangely. I actually was working at a computer conference as a booth babe, as they would call it back in those days, and the people I was working with were in the starting in the gaming industry, if you will, the initial one, back with the Commodore 64, which is obviously going to date me at this point, but at that conference, I went to a session afterwards, and I actually met who was the national software manager for Commodore Computers at the time. And, you know, he was already heavily into programming. I guess you would call him a real geek. But he was a really fascinating character. So we, you know, had a conversation around technology, and I wasn't really thrilled with my job at the time, and I was looking for, you know, a career change. And sure enough, next thing I know, we ended up starting into business together, and that's how I ended up with Genevieve and her two siblings, and we co-founded Konomics International when really the technology industry was in the, you know, the non-mainframe world was just starting to take off. So this was a huge challenge to try to break into this market, but it was probably the best time to get into it because it was at its birth, and you know, the more I got to understand how it worked. I mean, you know, back then we had such silly things even happening with clients calling us saying, you know, my computer ate my disk. And, you know, I'd have technicians come back or I'd go out myself only to find out that they'd slipped the disk between the two drives instead of into the drive. I even, you know, got challenged to the point where I realized that a whole floor of lawyers, and if you really want to get yourself into a situation, you get a whole floor full of lawyers as your clients, that they had moved into a new building, and all of a sudden their Novell networks kept crashing. And I kept thinking about it, and finally I said, you know what, let me borrow something from Xerox, which happened to be a power meter, which could see influxes in electricity. So I plugged it into two or three places, and sure enough, there was a severe dip in the electrical feed between 8 and 9, 12 and 1, and 4 and 5. Well, what happens at those hours in office buildings? The elevators are in use. So I quickly was able to point out to those people that they had obviously made a mistake when they had done the electrical wiring and they weren't feeding the enough electricity to the, or they should be separating electricity between the elevators and what's, you know, working obviously on the floor. And these were kind of weird things for a woman to be kind of challenging herself to figure out, but I absolutely loved them. And even though none of the lawyers said thank you, in fact, they had kind of threatened to sue us at the time, I found that extremely rewarding. And from there, I started saying, okay, what can we do next? What can we do next? And next thing I know, we were looking at, you know, going back into programming again. I saw a lady that was delivering paychecks on a snowmobile, and I looked at my partner and I said, why are we just not creating software that allow her to, you know, send her checks from her small business straight to her employee's bank accounts? And next thing I know, we have a software that in 1998 was purchased by Computer Associates. They wanted to buy the company, but we enjoyed technology too much, and we sold them all our software assets. So anybody who buys, you know, ACPAC accounting software, Simply Accounting, anything to do direct deposit was from the initial vision I had from this woman on a snowmobile. So it's been a weird, very wild ride. But the more I was challenged with this, the more I kept saying, you know, it just kept driving me more and more to get into technology. And where I would consider it having been, quote-unquote, mundane for the first 20 years in the industry, I'd say the last 3 to 5 have been just, like, incredible, you know, getting into the new collaboration technologies, the surface applications, everything that's coming out now, you know, mobile technology, the way it's taken off. It's crazy the number of challenges that are out there for people to come up with different types of solutions. And I think the most exciting part of the ride is yet to come. And that's why when I spoke to Redmond Channel Partner Magazine the other day, I told them, I said, you know, you're asking me about retiring? Are you kidding? I hope I'm 90 and I'm still, you know, trying to figure out how to fix customers' problems, because it's just too much fun. Absolutely too much fun. And I wish, that's what I want girls to see. I want to see where that the action is, where the fun is, and how they can be wildly successful in this industry.
This is Jen, and my interest in computing was almost inevitable considering my entire family is in love with it, especially my two brothers and obviously my parents. And my first true, like, hardcore experience with computing was a March break in elementary school when I woke up at 8 every single morning of that 1 week March break to play my favorite computer game, Diablo, all day till my brothers came back to claim the family computer. That is what I did every single day. And it fascinated me that there were people who developed this game and probably had a lot of fun creating the characters, the challenges, and the environment that is the world of Diablo. And then eventually it kind of just became like a love of playing games and things like that. But when it really got into the technology world was when my mom gave me some magazines like Fast Company, and I saw the article on Microsoft Surface, and I researched it because it got me really excited. And then eventually, like, I got my mom to take me to Microsoft World Partner Conference in Houston in 2008 with her, and she started talking to this wonderful woman about a project they wanted to work on in Bangladesh, a community project, and it was pretty much teaching young girls how to use computers, and I so wanted to be a part of that. I so wanted to teach them and share my knowledge, and I wanted to learn from them. I wanted to learn about their culture, which is the best thing about technology is that it's so global that you find out about so many different people, so many different cultures, so many different perspectives on life. And it fascinated me, and I love that. So my mom told me that the project would do better if the people involved were all certified. Specifically, she was implying, get your certification, little girl. So I did. I got my certification. I was really happy about that. And eventually, it kind of took off from there. And ever since, we've been working on Gen Inc., working on different projects, different aspects of it, and I love it. I absolutely adore it.
Yeah, and that's where the challenge came in too, because, you know, what we both realized is that, you know, during her last year in high school, you know, she came home to me and she said, you know, it's funny, I had a conversation with my peers about technology and we kind of got into this PC Mac argument. She goes, you know what I realized? She goes, we take a lot of things for granted in technology, and, you know, we just often assume about advertising, you know, that what it says is what it's going to do. And she says, I know from experience that that's not always the case. And she said, you know, when you get out into the working world, you have to have the right tools and technology. And she says, I'm not sure that, you know, the girls that, especially that I talked to that day, really realized that. And she says, I think there's, you know, something missing here. There's somebody that really needs to go out there and research it and then, you know, present it back in a way that my own generation will understand and appreciate. And that's when I said, well, if you think you can do it, then come up with a concept. And that's when, you know, the idea of Gen Inc. was born. So, you know, that kind of basically followed, I guess that would have been one of your natural career paths if you're talking about how Gen, you know, eventually got into this whole concept.
And Elizabeth, this is really fascinating what you were talking about earlier, and you're indicating you worked with floppy disks and things like that and Novell networks. Is it like Novell 3 or 4?
Do I have to tell the truth or can I lie? I'm going back to pre-Bill Gates days, you know, right back to the Commodore 64. Actually, at the time I met my future husband, he actually had developed an accounting software package for the Commodore 64 when they were back. Never mind the floppy disks, we were using those things called dongles. So now that I've completely dated myself, my time in computing goes way back to then. And before that, obviously, when I was working within a company, it was the good old green phosphor screens, which is how I ended up probably wearing glasses for about a year and a half till I got off it.
Fascinating. Wow, you're a computing pioneer.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or bad. I'm not sure if I should put on my cap, get on my horse, and ride off into the sunset.
And then, Jen, all the things that you're doing and the fact that you're so engaged, I'm just so impressed.
Thank you.
I think, you know, she's had a little bit of a benefit being exposed to it.
Absolutely.
What I tried on purpose was, you know, when I came back from a meeting in Redmond at one point, I threw those magazines at her. I didn't make her, but I purposely picked those two magazines because I figured if she was really interested, she'd find something, and she did find those articles on her own. She came back, she asked me, I said, well, if you want to know more, here's where you can go do your research. And, you know, when she found the surface technology, that really floored her, as it has, you know, many people in the past couple of years, and the way that's also, you know, starting to come towards the consumer market slowly. But, you know, when she found out, you know, first thing she obviously asked is, oh, can we get one? And I said, well, with a $15,000 price tag, I said, start saving your pennies. But I'll tell you, if she could have made the money, we would have had one in the house right away. But that is to say that I don't say we cheated for her, but thank God we had the business because she got a perspective, I think, on the technology world that few young people get to have. And that's what bothers me. That's what I feel needs to change. And that goes all the way back to, you know, changing the way we do things and the educational system as well as getting to those communities that can't afford that kind of technology and making sure that they have access to it. Because Canada, you know, had started off as a huge leader in technology. And I feel right now that there are many, and recent surveys have said the same thing, that we are falling far, far behind our counterparts, even in what I consider probably economically less rich countries than ourselves. That, to me, is wrong. There's something completely wrong with that, especially when we know what resources we have access to. And that's something that needs to be touched upon, it needs to be discussed, and there has to be a plan of action.
Well, you know, I know that you have Gen Inc. TV, and I know that Jen is intimately involved in this idea and taking it to fruition with support from yourself and others. And it's just, I think it's just remarkable that this is going to drive additional sort of movement towards IT and, you know, from a broad perspective and drive youth into sort of engaging further. And that takes a lot of innovation and vision and thought leadership and courage. So, again, I very much admire all of that work.
Thank you.
So, Jen, you got your MCP and your Certified Professional and your Certified Technical Specialist. Can you describe what that process was like?
Actually, it was pretty much my mom Like, we were discussing how I was supposed to get certified and what kind of, like, exams I should pass and whatnot. And so she kind of gave me, like, because they have all their, they all have all their books and all the software and things like that. So, like, I pretty much just ran downstairs, grabbed all the books off the shelf, and I just put them on my desk. And then I sat there for weeks on end, like, during one of my summers, and I had friends over who actually were with me, and they were actually learning it with me because of, I kind of didn't want to do it alone because I was a little bit nervous having to do a test on it. So I spent a couple weeks with my friends looking at all of it, and then I ended up doing my first one, which was for my, just like my MC, like VISTA kind of thing. So it was just VISTA. And then when I actually came out of the exam room and I looked at my mom, and I had the paper in my hand, I had it in an envelope, and I looked at it, I was like, oh, man. I'm so sorry. Like I tried really hard, and she's like, it's okay. Like, don't worry about it. And then I pulled it out, and I was like, yeah, that's right. I passed, just so you know. I was so ecstatic.
And that was pretty good for her, too, because, you know, she was already, again, she was lucky. She was an early adopter, you know, in this industry because she had access to that software. So she was able to go in, and she had already been doing some troubleshooting on her own because she had paid for her own laptop, and so she had to go back. She had to reinstall the software. She had to figure out, what she needed to do is find a setting herself with the wireless printer, you know, the routers and everything else. And because we told her we're not going to help you unless you absolutely, you know, really work at it and try yourself first. She had to do like every other person in this industry does, is, you know, figure it out. If it took you 2 hours, it took you 2 hours. If it took you 3 hours, it took you 3 hours. And, you know, there was the books there. She has all our certification books. She had the software. She had the technology. And, of course, when, you know, it looked like she was probably going to jump off the roof, then we would, you know, stick our head in and say, okay, you know, what is it that you're struggling with? And actually, that was a good teaching point for just both myself, my husband, and my daughter, because that gave my husband actually a chance to, you know, work with his daughter and, you know, create a special bonding there too, because, you know, in this whole industry, when we're talking about trying to get girls involved in technology, we're not out there to shut out the guys. In fact, they want in. They want in, they want to help, they want to encourage. I've even had MVPs in the community say, you know what, if you're going to do some kind of pilot project where you're going to do, you know, a camp or something to get girls certified, you know, let me know. I'm in. I don't charge anything. I'm in. I want to be part of it. So I said, wow, this is wonderful. This is exactly, you know, the kind of thing we're looking for. But when I started working on a project for a client in the SharePoint technology, you know, I talked about collaborative solutions, and she started to see on my own what I was developing. And so she helped me with one of our client projects, you know, just on the side so that she could really understand. And she goes, now that, she says, that's something, you know, that I could really, really get into. So, you know, without my knowing at the time, she had gone into, and after the VISTA, she dove into the SharePoint structuring. And then she said she knew I was taking a lot of exams at the time because we had to for our certification structure for our company. But she had done so, and then she knew we were going in for a couple exams. She says, book me in. I said, what do you mean? She goes, I want to give my MCTS SharePoint a try. I said, you're kidding me. She goes, no. So I sat her down for about 40 minutes, and I said, okay, you know, show me how you would do this in the administrative. Show me how you would do this. And she knew how to do it. And I went, okay, go give it a try. So while I was busy writing one of my other MCTS exams, you know, she went off on another floor in another company and another learning center, and she popped off her SharePoint exam, and I went, okay, looks like when I'm ready to retire, which hopefully will be never, I think I've got somebody who can really take over for me because she gets it.
I was so happy for that exam. I, like, walked out of the room with the biggest smile on my face because I got, like, over, like, 900 or something on the exam. I was blown away. I was so happy.
And that just proves a big point to me, and it should prove a point to a lot of girls, is that, you know, this is the kind of thing we want to talk about. This is the kind of thing that we want to have other girls achieve, because, you know, once it becomes viral, if you will, just like something that you discuss on YouTube or gets on YouTube and it gets out there, you know, once you have somebody who's a leader, then you've got a bunch of followers, and then some of those followers become leaders, and before you know it, you have a complete change in the mindset of another generation. And that's basically what we're trying to get at. And I think now Jen, as a surprise to me and my husband both, did something that we honestly and sadly thought our boys would do first. And they've actually shown very little interest in it, and that's for their own personal reasons, that's fine. And it's so funny because when you look at her, she manages her time. She is, you know, very well focused on her studies, and she's not engrossed, you know, in gaming too much. She knows how to set her limits, and she also knows that besides the virtual world, she has to spend time in the real world as well. And I think that says a lot about how successful, hopefully, she can be going forward, because she's far more aware of things than some of her peers, maybe, and unfortunately, her brothers. Luckily, my boys are doing extremely well at school just the same. But, you know, it sometimes worries you and it surprises you. You'd think that after all the hundreds of thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours that these boys are playing in games, that they'd want to turn around and develop their own. But they just don't have the same interest in technology as she does, and that's obviously a good thing for the industry, I hope. But it was a huge surprise that myself, you know, knowing everything that I'm doing and everything that I quote-unquote stand for, that I had that bias. And that's, you know, when I thought about it, I kind of wanted to smack myself on the side of the head and go, girl, what were you thinking? But that's the kind of mindset that's still there that we have to make sure we change.
You know, I get the sense from both of you that you think and you feel that, you know, this whole area of computing is interesting and it's fun and it's creative and it's cool.
Oh. Need we say more? I don't know, Genevieve, you've seen... actually, what I did is when I came back from the Current conference in New Orleans, I showed Genevieve one or two of the keynotes, and that really, you know, I think the one with Bill Buxton.
I love that guy, by the way. He's just amazing.
Yeah. He really has a way of talking to people that I think would bode well with the younger generation. And these are things that keep happening, and I've spoken to Microsoft, and I said, you know what? You do an amazing job of absolutely exciting your partners to the point that they're almost frothing at the mouth. They can't wait to jump back on the plane and go forth, if you will. So you've done this amazing messaging, and then there's this whole other group of people, if you will, that don't see it. They're not out there. You're not talking about it. You're not really reaching out to them, you know? And I'm sitting there going, this is why we need something like this Project Gen Inc., because what Microsoft does so amazingly well with their partners, I'm dying to see them do with the younger generation. And if it takes an outside force, if you will, to do that, so be it. And their opinion is, this is great, go for it. You know, we're behind you, and we see what you're getting at, and you're quite right. And you know, even every time I show this stuff to Genevieve, it's like, but why are we not seeing it? You know, why are they not showing it to us? I said, well, you know what? There you go. You learn it. You research it. If you think it's relevant to your generation, then get out there and talk about it. You know, make people aware. It's really all about education and awareness. And that's what needs to happen at this for this generation to want to be part of what we've been building for the last 25 years. Because if you don't do that, where are going to be all the new innovative ideas coming from? If nobody's in there in the industry because everybody's, girls are thinking it's way too geeky, you know, for them to be part of, then there's half the population right there that's not even going to touch this industry. And to me, that is absolutely unthinkable.
Well, we're definitely going to change that. So going forward, can you talk more about your experience with CyberCap and working with youth that are lost or on the career decision fence?
Yeah. Well, one of their program members and I actually had a really long conversation in which she explained to me, like, CyberCap's entire ideology, how she became involved, and what she has gained from this career path. So CyberCap was built around the knowledge that there's a group of adolescents and young adults who don't attend or drop out of college and don't believe they have any choices left for them. In the founder's mind, he decided he would build a company centered around this group and give them an opportunity to jump right into technology. find a passion for any part of it and continue on that path till they find themselves in a career that pleases them. The woman I spoke to had hardly been in contact with technology before she started working at CyberCap. And what she was, like, what she was part of was a group of about 8 individuals in this, something that a project that Microsoft, Montreal developed for kids who dropped out of school. And it's when they put them into different companies like CyberCap and they start working and heading towards a path. And CyberCap is about technology. And now she doesn't see herself anywhere else. She loves all the software she works with. She loves the people she works with, and she intends on finishing her program there and finding a job in a field that uses different softwares that she's become familiar with and truly enjoys working with. And there's so many young adults who have lost their way, and CyberCap does not close her doors to any of them, but almost has built like a square in the wall with no doors whatsoever, and it's specifically for that group. It's a truly brilliant organization, and I loved talking to the members of that program. They were so happy to be involved in it.
So I get this feeling, Jen Viev, that you've got some of this lined up for interviews in Jen Inc. TV.
Yeah, a couple. Sorry, I have a little bit of a cold.
Sorry, because she's still choking here. Like I said, it's been a rough week, and this is the time of year, of course, when everybody starts picking up every germ that's out there. What we had done is we have actually done an initial set of about 6 interviews that we tried to make completely different. We talked to a visionary, Louise Gay, from My Virtual Model. She brought the perspective of somebody like myself that was in the industry at a time when women just, you know, would probably be overlooked, and, you know, created an amazing virtual community world around models and clothes and fashion.
And her opinion was that, like, the game had changed, and she kept saying it during the interview. She was so happy about that. She's like technology, like, it's a world for women now. Like, things are centered towards women. Women are, so many different aspects. And I mean, My Virtual Model is an amazing program. Anybody can use it. Anybody can put themselves on, like, right in front of them on their computer screen and develop different fashion ideas, shop online, things like that. And it's so easy. It's accessible. People that, like, especially mothers that also have jobs can now just go home, have themselves on their computer screen and just do any shopping they need to really quickly, really fast, and actually very enjoyable for them.
Yeah, it's a very different experience, and she brought a really weird aspect into it that I wasn't expecting, which was around actually, fitness and weight loss, because she said actually she had appeared on Oprah, and again, the problem was she was probably, and this has happened to me too in some of the developments of our programs, we were way ahead of our time in the programming and the solution solving that the industry was maybe not quite ready for. But, you know, she said a woman actually cried because what she was able to do this software was look at herself if she had lost, say, 5 or 10 pounds. And actually it encouraged her to change the way that she was eating and her fitness and everything. And, you know, she came back on to Oprah and completely different woman than she was, say, you know, 6 months ago. So we're like, wait a minute, you know, there's just so much more to what technology can do than just, you know, solving customers' problems. This is changing the way, you know, people actually live and the way that they may continue to live later on. And we know that because we see what's happening in the medical industry as well, in the biopharmaceuticals. One of our customers was, you know, struggling with their clinical trials and, you know, the data and working with teams that are obviously very global in nature, because research teams, when it comes to the biopharma field, just don't work within one city. They're, you know, halfway around the world. And because they were able to, you know, work with us around a particular solution, they were gathering data quicker, they were able to collaborate quicker, and they, you know, are now actually fast-tracked on their phase 3 clinical trials for a drug that actually is saving babies that their bones are actually breaking while they're still within the mother's womb. If technology is helping accelerate those kind of drug therapies, if you will, and that's to be very specific, but that's a really good example, you know, imagine what we can do going forward. And a lot of those people that were involved in the team, and actually in this case it was 60%, were women. So they understand the value of technology, and this is actually, you know, saving people's lives that otherwise would be lost within a few years. So, you know, women understand that. I think that's a way to kind of drive them towards the industry, is to, you know, give them those stories and those perceptions of how they can, you know, change the world, if you want to be silly about it. But that's what it comes down to, is it's changing the world we live in completely.
So what I'm hearing from you, Elizabeth and Genevieve, is this whole idea of computing being multidisciplinary. So it's kind of tied in with chemistry and life and fashion and art and music and, you know, every conceivable domain that you can think of, it's somehow integrated into it. So I'd like to then get your perspectives. What more can you share about computing as a career path?
I would say that, like, specifically how computers are absolutely involved in every aspect. You can turn on the TV and every single TV show involves a computer. And something that I find really amazing is this TV, watching, not even a TV program, it's a webisode show directed at young girls, and it's called iCarly, as in iPod, but it's iCarly, and it's all these webisodes, and it's a completely crazy show, and it's directed at young girls who just sign onto their computers and can watch shows online that they find absolutely amazing. And some of them incorporate, like, some of the episodes incorporate different aspects of technology. And it's directed at young girls, which is amazing. And the thing about IT as a career path is that since it's involved in almost every single aspect of our lives, it's also in part an aspect of every single career. So somehow, in any career that you go into, technology will be part of it. And it's the girls that we met at, the women that we met at ED09, one of them was not a graphic design, but she was a professor now in graphic design, but that's not where she started. She started off regularly teaching art, and then she started getting these softwares, when she was first incorporated into starting to teach, she was given these softwares she was supposed to learn, and then she could teach them to students, and these students would not only use the technology for different, like, software products or whatever that they would eventually use in any business or whatever, but they would use it specifically to be creative and collaborate on different projects. And one of them was something, she was amazed by what her students knew right now. Like, first semester students, we have it in one of our webisodes, first semester students created an amazing booklet that had this amazing type of paper and images and, like, writing and 3D, and it actually was. The book was 3D, and it came with a little pair of glasses that when you look at it, things popped out of the book, and these are first semester students. And the problem is, though, is that there are girls who don't see themselves in it right now. Hopefully it'll get easier, and I think it will, because my little cousin Taylor, she's about 9 years old, I was over there for Thanksgiving, and she lives in Toronto, and we were actually she was teaching me how to make music videos on a Mac computer. So we're in her bedroom, little pink bedroom, and we have the Mac on on her table, and we're dancing and playing music, and it's actually one of my favorite songs that we're dancing to. And she was teaching me. I was shocked. I was speechless. I was like, this is amazing. She's 9 years old. I'm 16, and she's teaching me something on Mac. Like, it's like a photo booth. It's like different applications like that. And I believe that young girls may actually be able to see themselves in that path if they have a spokesperson or some other young girl they see who is successful and, even more importantly, excited about working with technology as a career.
And they see that out there. They have that visibility over the web to see that being highlighted, you know, to go and speak to other girls about it. What I was floored was that she actually used a split screen effect. So, you know, they were actually working within the room, but you only saw half. So it was like a mirrored effect. So as soon as they would stick out, you know, their left arm, the left arm would appear on both sides of the screen. So it made a really funky music video. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, this was something that you could have only done with, you know, extremely expensive equipment and in a studio. And here was my niece doing it in her bedroom. And she didn't have two thoughts about it. It was like, oh, this is easy.
Yeah.
And then she would show us some of the other programs that she's in. And I love it because it's teaching a thinking pattern. It's molding their minds to think in a certain way very early on. And it's actually a virtual world in which they They can adopt animals. They can, you know, share food with their friends. They can build communities. So this whole social aspect, to me, is not only fascinating for what good it's teaching the girls, it's actually the thinking behind it. It's the molding of the minds that's already happening. So whereas Jen quite rightly pointed out at 16, I think we're almost hopefully on the tail end of where girls are, you know, thinking about geeks as a dirty word, and where girls that are 9 right now, with the right encouragement and with the continued growth in that industry and the focus on it the right way and with the right role models, they won't think twice about getting into technology as a career because they're actually helping to shape and mold what's coming next.
I guess this is sort of a natural segue into this idea of the impact that computing has on just about any career. Do you have any comments?
Oh, God, I think Genevieve, you know, we've watched quite a few programs. I think where it was most interesting is, I believe it's NCIS, Genevieve?
Yeah.
The girl there that does all the scientific analysis, you know,
She has an amazing personality. You would not expect it. The first time you actually see her, she looks like she's 6 feet tall, but that's probably because she wears, like, these 5-inch, like, platform boots. They're black, and she has black hair, bangs, 2 big ponytails, just like Pippi Longstocking, very, like, gothic clothing, and the sweetest personality. And she adores science, she adores technology, and, of course, she loves boys, too. And she has a bubbly personality that you don't expect of a girl using technology like that. And she solves so many problems for their cases. She works with different programs. When they get a computer that they need to figure out how to solve or work with passwords and things like that, she's the one they call. And, like, if you look at Criminal Minds, one of the people on the team, she also has an amazing personality. She loves pink. She's obsessed with pink. And she's also in love with one of the guys on the team, and they're always flirting with each other. But it's so sweet because she also solves all of their problems. She connects, she uses technology to connect different aspects, to compare, to filter out results so that they can find different suspects, unsubs, things like that. And she adores it. She's like, let me work a miracle for you every time they ask for something that probably seems completely unlikely and impossible. She's like, I'm going to work you guys a miracle. And she starts working on her computer, tapping away, and she's in love with it. And even if the fact that she has to work in a field that's about, like, behavioral analysis and things like that, and sometimes the cases are a little bit nerve-wracking, she does it because she realizes she can help and actually change the world by working with the technology she has right in front of her, and she loves that part of it.
And I think what's very interesting is the different character types. And in both those shows, it is not the guy who is behind the technology. It's always the girl.
Yeah.
And a young woman at that, which I think is fantastic because it's starting to change the perceptions. And like I said, what I find very interesting about NCIS is they make that character almost like Emily the Strange is a brand of clothing, and she kind of looks like the character in that. completely goth and funky and fun. And then you've got the girl on the other program who looks probably more like your typical office worker, but, you know, she's very feminine, if you will.
No, she's extremely feminine. Like, she has pink little hair clips. She has, like, a bunch of pink little dolls and toys on her desk. She always wears crazy clothes. Her hair is always done up in different hairstyles. And she's just, there's so much energy and life into her. And you see how the actress uses the character to show what it is to have a passion for something like technology and how much it can help change the world and how much it can, like, how much good it can do.
And this is just around criminal psychology.
Yeah.
Never mind anything else. So, you know, we're not even talking about regular IT careers. We're completely off the quote-unquote beaten path at this point. And I think that's a key point. The only concern that, you know, a gentleman I spoke to, too, he agrees with me, is sometimes that technology is unfortunately misrepresented. And in other words, it's made to show things that are really just not there yet or not quite possible. So you don't want to put in people's minds, too, that it can do things that it's not quite ready to do. But then again, that should be what drives the next generation to get that creative and create the best, you know, greatest new application since, you know, Windows came on the market. So those two examples are great, And those are completely different career paths than what you would normally think about. And we're seeing more and more of that happening, you know, through the television media. But I think that now has to come back around to real life. I think iCarly was also a great example because this girl is using a webcam to create her shows, for, you know, within her high school. And, again, it's who's the leader? A girl's a leader. This is a great messaging, and hopefully there'll be more of that. And that follows into careers in medicine as well. You know, now we're starting to see shows where they're, you know, showing how technology, they're just taking a tablet PC, and the doctors, many of them are female, you know, are quickly exchanging information and, you know, being able to pull up people's x-ray charts or information that's stored on a pharmacy, you know, 16 states away. This is great. This is exactly what we need to see, but somebody's got to sit down and put this and framework it so that girls can understand it, because it's nice to see it. Now, how and where do I go to learn about it? You know, I want to get on this bandwagon. How do I do it? So there's probably missing that part of the puzzle, and I think that starts probably within the own education system and creating a new framework for that, but it also requires that somebody that speaks their own language does it and makes it visible.
You know, the whole aspect of technology and computing and, you know, just making it available to sort of the masses and people who don't have the same sort of circumstances that perhaps some of us have. So can you share your views on IT for the underprivileged?
In my opinion, this is Jen, many of us take for granted, like my generation, even your generation, those are two, we take for granted the easy access we have to technology, such as the internet, mobile phones, iPods, etc., when we should recognize and try and change the fact that there are many more in the world who don't have any contact with these tools. They have made our lives easier than we choose to acknowledge by simply being at our hand at any possible moment. Communication is so vital in this day and age that we almost find it hard to imagine how others survive without it. And it's especially difficult to picture by my generation, since it has been our norm for as long as we can remember. I intend to one day use Gen Inc. and its followers to change this issue in a manner that also benefits those that help them by giving them a chance to use knowledge they don't even see as special. These girls, different girls that have this easy access, can teach other girls how to use technology so that they can further their careers and make better lives for themselves. And so many girls my age who have this access are so acquainted with social networks and softwares that they don't even recognize how easy it is for them to teach others how to use it. Like my cousin, who's 9 years old, she taught me how to use a Mac application. And she didn't even think it was abnormal. She wasn't surprised that she knew how to use this stuff at 9 years old. She wasn't surprised that it was right in her bedroom, completely easy access that she could do with any of her friends at any moment during the day, that they could get together, make videos, put these videos on the internet, blog, things like that. It doesn't baffle her in any way that she is this lucky. And that's a good thing, because maybe it'll influence her to keep going in this path and actually use it as a career. But it should, in effect, be a thought in their mind that there are so many people out there who don't have the same access as us, and in some ways don't have it at all. And it's been very important that we change that, and we use technology to change that in retrospect.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, when Genevieve heard about the project in Bangladesh, you know, there were two thoughts along that. First, she wanted to be part of it, because, you know, she realizes, you know, just how poor that country is, and even more importantly, how in that culture, women would never be encouraged to get into technology careers, never even ever dream of being entrepreneurial in that aspect. But the fact is that, you know, they are so dirt poor, if you will, that unless somebody gets out there and does it, they will never see technology centers that will be built that will allow them to not only learn about technology, but completely change their lives and that of their children.
But the thing that's special about Bangladesh, and especially is like the community, is how much they want to work together. Like, they're the ones that came up with the Grameen Bank, like $50, like the max $50 deposits, exchanges, loans, things like that.
Like, they still want to work together. They have so much, they want to change the problems that they have there. And it's like the Grameen Bank only works for women, and you work in teams, and you work together to keep your family strong and keep it going and make it even better than it could have been expected for its life, you know? And the project with this woman from Bangladesh would work with them. And it's not just teaching them, it's just working with them. It's trying to get their community aspect to also be part of the world. It's like, we want to make it bigger, and we want them to be able to have the same opportunities that I've had all my life, that so many other girls in Montreal and Canada and the United States, even in Canada and the United States, there are girls that don't even have the same access as middle-class girls. And we need to recognize this and help change it.
You know, with your remarkable backgrounds, you're engaging on such a broad level, as I indicated before. So can you share then your experiences and lessons from mentoring women professionals and young women out there?
The one day that really sticks out in my mind was when I was asked to speak at the Women in Technology Luncheon at TechEd a couple years ago. I sat on a panel with some amazing women, some very completely different women. Actually, one of them works for Microsoft, but she actually has a small home farm that she lives on. And she actually, in her work world, she uses technology and electricity a lot, and yet at home, she uses far less electricity and maybe a little bit less technology. But it was amazing to get her perspective on how she grew up and how technology has affected her and how she's trying to balance out her life. And she tried to pass on that information to the other girls. And I was sitting there, you know, listening to her, and at the same time then I went, okay, you came from that perspective, here's mine. And I actually not only sat there and talked about, you know, the huge challenges, you know, ramping up in an industry that was really in its infancy to a point now where, you know, I think we're there, but now we have a whole other group of challenges. And, you know, there were some very succinct messages I was getting from these women, some core problems that had seemed to exist for many years. And, you know, we had great discussions, you know, I answered probably about 15 or 20 questions from these women. You know, I started to take some of these women, you know, they gave me their cards, and we've been in discussions in social networking groups since. And what I do is not just through that, but having developed this Women in Leadership and Technology program through IMCP, is that each year, you know, I'm insisting that, and Microsoft now is insisting too, is that we keep trying to drive these kind of mentoring opportunities, even if they're in some cases just once a year, but in many cases we continue them online in different social groups, so that, you know, we can take our perspective, which obviously in my case comes from way back, and, you know, help these women overcome some of the obstacles that in some cases we hope would be gone by now but still exist, because probably the biggest one is the work-life balance. And that will probably always continue to be a struggle for many years to come. It's, you know, I still think when something's only 20, 25 years old, that's still pretty young. And if you consider how long, you know, people have been on this earth. So I think there's still a lot of learning to do, learning on my part. But every time I think I've figured out how to get around something, I don't hesitate to get online and socialize with these women and say, you know, I've been thinking about this issue that, you know, a lot of you have been struggling with, and we do that. Now we're, you know, we're talking about things like the DigiGirls camps again, and getting more women one-on-one with some of these girls and sitting down and being a, if you will, a bad terminology, but the guiding light for these girls, so that they see there is a way somebody will be there for them. You know, mentoring is a tricky thing because, again, you're trying to balance out your job with your own family and other responsibilities. But I think it's critical that, you know, everybody takes a little piece of themselves and gives it back to the community. And I see this going on with people like Lynn Langit, Asli Biljan. Eileen Brown is my absolute idol. This woman has done so much for the technology industry. She garners so much respect from people, and she is helping to build out that whole idea of mentorship, and she sees where, you know, women are trying to leave, and we're all trying to work to keep them in there. So You know, whenever I am online, I don't hesitate to connect with some of the younger women that I have had the opportunity and the privilege of speaking with and talking to in different, you know, speaking sessions, and going back to them and saying, okay, you know, you came back to me and talked to me about this. Have you resolved it? Or, you know, do you need some additional advice on how to deal with it? So the little time that I have in my life, I absolutely try to keep in touch with these women. And I think as far as the mentoring goes, there's still a lot to be done about building a really good framework for it. I think this is, again, why I'm part of this whole Gen Inc. aspect, because I think that will come of it. There's already women I've talked to, like Louise Gay, that say, yes, if you build that portal and you put that, you know, piece into your website where girls can actually connect and feel comfortable doing so because it's in a virtual world, I'll be there to answer the questions. I mean, I struggled with it. You struggled with it. Let's take some of those hurdles away from the girls, and let's make it just that much easier for them to leap into it in a way that we never had the opportunity to.
Is Eileen going to be an interviewee on Gen Inc. TV?
Actually, that's one of the key people I absolutely have to get on, and I'm trying to discuss with her how we can do it. Obviously, I think given that she's in a completely different part of the geography worldwide and a different time zone, is a little bit challenging. If I could have her here, that would be great. But I think it would be even more fun to do it in a virtual aspect. So we're talking about using a typical technology like live meeting to actually, you know, record the whole event. So as soon as that poor woman can get 2 minutes to herself, or when she's not in her new venture, because she's now within a new company right now, or she's not on Farmville, because like all of us, we found some interesting apps on Facebook, which we, you know, tend to get a little bit maybe too involved in. I think we'll have a wonderful session with her because, again, I consider her somebody who's very visionary. She's somebody that's been able to reach out on a global basis, not just other women. I am shocked at how many men, and a lot of them are, you know, considered top technology guys, absolutely live on a lot of the words that she has to say. So she's got an amazing following, not just from the women, but from the men as well. And I think that's very important because she's a voice that will be very well respected when she's heard from our website.
You know, I'm getting really excited. When is Gen Inc. TV going to be launched?
Well, right now we're working on, we're in a pre-production mode. We actually are working with a group of guys that do visual effects. And some of it, because like everybody else, they're so creative, they get carried away. You know, it's taking a little bit longer than we'd like, but they are adamant. They met Jen, and this is typical of what's been happening with us, is that, you know, people meet Genevieve, and they get excited about the whole project. They realize that she is sincere. You know, she's knowledgeable. She's articulate. She's engaging. She's energizing. And they're like, okay, what can we do next? So we're right now hoping to get the official launch of the site probably about mid-November, and at that point there should be some of our initial interviews with Louise and with CyberCap and some of the people at Infusion, these women that, you know, are just absolutely going to be devastated if their jobs disappear one day for some reason. And, you know, we have some footage from some of the other stuff that Genevieve has done. She had a wonderful time at ED09 just engaging with people, and the stuff that she found out, the stuff that she's learned, these things will all be on that portal, and it'll grow over time, and at that point that's when we'll start engaging the girls to come in and start telling their story. So I would think about mid to end of November we should be able to officially launch the site, and you know, then it'll hopefully grow from there with more support from the technology community.
Yeah, you know, I can see this now in 2010 and 2011 at the MVP Global Summit, and Steve Ballmer is up on the stage, and then he features Gen Inc. TV, and then he brings you both up.
From your mouth to Steve's ear, that would be a wonderful, and I'll tell you for just one simple reason, is that it would be finally nice to recognize, and Microsoft does this through their Imagine Cup, but I really think it would be nice to for once showcase a young girl as the light going forward. It's like, you know what, we're here, she's here, we're here, and let's just keep the momentum going, because now the light's been turned on for everybody, absolutely everybody. And I hope that means more than anything is that in the very near future Genevieve actually makes it out to Bangladesh, you know, and Luna Shamsidoa, who is an entrepreneur from Bangladesh that so desperately wants this project to happen, that she will be able to actually greet her off the plane, and they will take off together and go down to that technology center that they've been able to build and actually have a wonderful week of interacting with these young girls whose lives that were going to change. That would be my ultimate wish in Genevieve too. And I hope that before the end of 2010 or 2011, that happens, and that you know, people like Microsoft and Steve Ballmer will recognize that and want to make that a centerpiece of one of the world partner conferences or any other global summit that they see fit.
You know, underlying all of this is this whole aspect of education, you know, K-12, post-secondary, and so on. And, you know, there has been historically a sort of a momentary sort of drop in enrollments, though this past year they have picked up. Can you share your views on education?
Wow. I'll let Genevieve speak from her perspective. But I would start by saying that, you know, especially since I was so involved in the school committees themselves, because, you know, there was always issues whether it was the public or private sector. I had the honor of being involved in both, and I think it was important because I saw some completely different, you know, resource availabilities. And even when the resources were there, they weren't necessarily being used in the right way. But I still think we are not necessarily framing the training that kids should be getting if they're going to be keeping up with their peers, you know, on a worldwide basis. That concerns me greatly. And I think more importantly too is because there's such a huge drop in enrollment, I think that people are starting to realize that if you offer, you know, children that are just not interested in, you know, specifically becoming scientists or engineers, if you open up, you know, in particular the world of media technology, I can tell you from having talked to Fanshawe College, I believe, and Genevieve, wasn't it, something like 70% of their students are girls? And they're turning people away. They're literally turning people away. So we have to start looking at what kids really like to do, what inspires them, and start restructuring, you know, our education system around that, because those are also, believe it or not, and I'm sure you know this, in some cases they're very lucrative careers. Look at the gaming industry. It's insane. And gaming just won't be gaming because those virtual characters are starting to become part of our lives, and they're becoming our alter egos, if you will. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I see that happening more and more. And those are all things that are developed by people in the graphics world. Again, if you go back down to the pen and paper, those are the girls that are, you know, scribbling and drawing these wonderful designs, and these are things that, you know, girls or boys that don't grab on to the, you know, the basics, can be driven towards and have wonderful, satisfying careers and being able to be part of society in a way that's satisfying to them. And if we don't encourage that, and we have absolutely no excuse not to encourage it, especially in a country like ours and in many of the industrialized countries where they have the funds and the resources to do it, then we're our own worst enemy, and we're going to be responsible for the results that we're going to get. And I'm thinking some of the stats that you're seeing are probably because schools are realizing, yes, the kids love this, they love the technology, if we'll just give them the tools, they'll run with it. And that's where you're starting to see more of these media and design schools, more of these camps, and then the kids are just, they're loving it. They're saying, wow, I can fit in. Not only can I fit in, I can excel, and I can be part of something huge on even really the world stage, because it ends up falling on the internet 90% of the time. Now I'm just not something local. I can be, you know, I can be a hero, if you will, worldwide. I mean, the possibilities are limitless. Why wouldn't we want to encourage this? You know, this is where the government, unfortunately, comes into it too. And somebody better wake us up before it's too late.
You know, my next question is about, you know, what are your current and immediate future projects and what outcomes you wish to deliver and what can the audience learn from these projects? But, you know, throughout this conversation, we've talked about GenInc TV. Maybe we can flesh that out a bit more. You know, what is GenInc TV? What are its goals, you know, beyond its launch and the longer term, you know, the whole sort of from the creative process and on?
In a nutshell, GenInc is really Generation Incorporated. just happens that Genevieve's name is first three letters. What we want to do in the long run is create a portal, and initially it's an open space, a social space for girls to learn, become aware of, learn, and find out how to get into this industry, like how to be a part of this industry, whether it's, you know, being a graphic artist or, you know, learning how to use technology in the medical industry or the biopharma industry. We really just want to start with the very simple basics of saying, wow, do you have any idea of what is going on out there and what's coming, you know, and do you realize that you're already quite adept at making this a career choice for yourself? And we do that by engaging, you know, with younger people and older people as well. You know, so getting some of those people that are visionaries and have been successful in the IT industry, and then talking to the girls. I mean, there are 30 entrepreneurs that were listed on a recent website, and the vast majority of those women are very young. Some of them started off with concepts at the age of 10, and they're now, you know, in the seven or eight or nine figures in businesses that they've developed. And, you know, when girls start to see that, they're like, wow, where have I been? You know, what bandwagon do I get onto? And this is what we want to do. We want to create the excitement. We want to create the awareness. We want to have somebody that girls can kind of look at. It's like, okay, where's Jen going today? Who's she talking to? You know, what are we interacting with? You know, what discussions can we get into, you know, around technology and around life as well? In the long run, what do we want to do? We want to change the statistics in the industry. We want people to realize what they can do, how they can go about doing it, that it can be fun, that it can be, you know, absolutely rewarding, and then take it to the other level, which is helping, giving back. You know, it's nice to take, it's also better to give. And so in the long run, what we hope to do is get more people involved in changing how technology can be placed into other communities and letting other girls take advantage of those opportunities as well. So that's kind of the core of what the program will do. I think what's going to end up happening is that we're going to end up in other discussions, typical of, you know, things like the fitness and why that's an important aspect in your life as well. And yeah, technology will fit into that too. But, you know, letting girls have a place that they feel comfortable because it's a virtual world, you know, they don't have to necessarily show themselves, but they'll get more comfortable with it. And then as they become successful, they'll want to talk about it. We want to talk about everybody out there. This is not just about Genevieve. This is Genevieve saying, come talk to me. Let's put you out there. There's a ton of leaders out there. Let's find them and let's put them on a pedestal for others to follow. And let's make something completely different so that the next time we get to conference in 5 years from now is that people are banging down the doors of these training centers, of these learning centers, that, you know, kids are staying in school because, you know, the dropout rate here in Quebec is just horrendous. And if we could flip those statistics, if we could flip the way that you know, technology becomes part of the school life, then the whole social structure, the whole satisfaction and the whole longevity of people's lives are going to change in the long run, because now people have something that they can get excited about, they want to live for, they want to work towards. And, you know, when you can put a positive energy out there, which is what Genevieve is, you know, positive energy breeds positive energy, and I think that's what will hopefully make this whole project as viral as possible and global as possible. And we're not limiting it right off the bat either to just single language. What you'll be surprised to see is that the project, when it appears in the videos, will not just be bilingual, it'll actually be trilingual, because we already have one girl who's a very successful young entrepreneur in the Dominican Republic who's putting out her own video that we're going to be putting on the website as well. So it's going to be a little bit more different than probably people expect. And, you know, as with anything else, it'll grow and change as people get involved in it. You never know who's going to want to jump on the bandwagon with us, and I hope they do.
So how would you describe your top innovative achievements in terms of the problems you're trying to solve, solutions, and the impact it has today and into the future?
Okay. That's a tough one. I've been involved in so many projects. I think This is going to maybe in a way sound boring, but it was unbelievable. We've recently taken a client that was, I think all their employees were about to get up and walk out. It was just that stressful. It was just that manual process, time-consuming, disjointed communications. It was incredible. They had a database, and that was it. And that database was not doing for them what they absolutely needed to do. And people were quitting and coming and going. And, you know, we sat down as a team with them, and, you know, we basically revamped their entire infrastructure. We weren't just talking about software and hardware. We were talking about their whole business process management and the way that they communicated. And you know, it was a three-year project. And in the end, it was completely custom developed. But, you know, whereas when we started off a couple years ago, people were just not smiling. And a couple years ago, where we could have seen them to leave, and crying and looking when somebody wasn't for jobs on other sites, these people are actually guarding their jobs with their lives now, because the application that we developed in this case, the solution we developed in this case, has absolutely transformed the entire nonprofit business that they have, and is also changing their members. But probably more importantly, it means now that these people can actually get their lives back, which was something they didn't have up until, you know, the last couple years. And for that, actually, that was where our recent CEA award, Solution Provider of the Year, came from. So we're quite proud of what we've done as a team at Conimex.
So we've already talked about this and, you know, connecting women and youth and technology and why it's a passion for you. Do you have anything more to add?
I would encourage women to, you know, take part in, you know, different communities, if they will. There's a lot of women's organizations around information technology. There's CataWit, there's WITL, there's the Geek Girls Dinners, which has now become a worldwide phenomenon. I would encourage women to seek out these different groups, especially, you know, women that feel that they can get out there and help encourage other women and help them solve, you know, issues that they may have. I would like a greater focus with people that think that they have the time and energy to, you know, to band together and start looking at how we can put a better social aspect on the IT world, how we can start taking the riches that we've developed over the last 20-some years and start putting it back where it belongs, which is, you know, back in the youth sector and in underprivileged communities. That, to me, are some key things that need to be done. And I think that applies, obviously, to both the women and the men, but I think the women need to step forward and, you know, be heard, because they've got a lot of good energy, they've got a lot of good advice, and they could probably do a lot of good.
We're near the end of this interview. What do you see as the top challenges facing us today?
I think that we're not engaging at all well enough the generation that could be maybe the one that makes the biggest social changes and you know, gets us out of some of the crises we've been in, especially in the last couple years. You know, whether it's you know, climate change issues or, you know, the financial disasters that have happened that could have probably easily been avoided if technology was used in a specific way. You know, that's the thing that I see happening, and I think it all falls upon that generation, not to put everything on their shoulders. We're responsible for what's happened and built up, but if we engage them and we give them the right support, the right tools, the right mentoring, then they have the opportunity to correct a lot of the mistakes that we've made over the last couple decades.
Geneviève, any comments?
I think the top challenge is probably, I honestly believe it's directed at getting young girls to see this career path, technology as a career path, as something that isn't geeky, which they consider bad. Like, when we look at the TV shows that I was mentioning before, like NCIS and Criminal Minds, these girls are amazing. They're entertaining. They're sweet. The characters are people you can relate to, people you want to have conversations with. And they're no way geeky or as thing as we see, as like other people see them or what we've been shown. Like the media for so many years has shown anybody in technology or in sciences as extremely nerdy, as not cool. And that's what girls are afraid of. They're afraid that they're going to walk into that, that they're probably going to break something, or they're not going to be careful with technology. Because I know that the first time when I touched Surface, I was really gentle with it. They started telling me, you have to press much harder to get the buttons to work. I was like, okay. So I started pressing a little bit heavier. And they're like, no. You tell the machine what to do. And I was like, okay. And it's true. Like, we're nervous we may break something. And we need to make girls realize that there is a comfortable aspect to technology. And that's what we need to show them. That other girls are comfortable with technology, other women are comfortable with technology, and that's something that we have an issue with right now, is that they're afraid to touch it, they're afraid to look at it as actually something that's cool, and they don't want to be shunned by the technological world or boys and other girls in general. They want to be accepted. That is what we would like that is our psychological basis. Is to be accepted by others. That is what fulfills our basic needs. And this is where we have a problem, and we need to face it and change that.
You know, Elizabeth, you know, in looking back, we've had a good dialogue, and we investigated a lot of different areas and talked about, you know, a lot of different topics. Is there some area that I missed? So if you were to kind of reverse this interview process and you were doing the interview, would there be a question you would ask?
Yes. Actually, probably the one question I would ask is, you know, how do we see men in this industry helping to reverse the tide? Because there is obvious mentors that are out there that are women, but you know, how do we get men involved in this mind changing, if you will, of the next generation? Because the next generation is not just girls; it's boys too, and we need both. So as much as we're focused in Jen initially on the girls, and we know the boys are going to watch, you know, how do men play a big role in changing this? And actually, I've already seen it, because I encouraged one of my MVP buddies in Alabama to attend the Women at Play session at Tech Ed. And really, it was kind of funny, because it was, you know, room full of women and a couple of guys. And they had to play with Lego, and they had to come up with certain themes, and it was amazing how quickly they became very, very creative. But really what happened, and which I am very proud of, is that this gentleman went home to his two little girls. And he bought actually one of these very sophisticated Lego robot building sets. And he sat with his girls the whole day. Actually, I believe it was over 2 days. And there was a computer aspect to it as well, because there was a little bit of programming that you do for the robot. And these girls are only 6 and 8. But he immediately realized, he goes, I'm not doing anything to encourage that way of thinking. And he spent basically the whole weekend with them building these robots, and he actually put it up on his website. And now he, you know, often talks about how he interacts with the women in the IT community and how important it is to him. And I think if there were more men out there like that, and I think there are, if they would, you know, broach the subject and bring it up with their male peers, that just might help the process along just that much faster.
Well, Elizabeth and Genevieve, with your demanding schedules, we're indeed fortunate to have you come in and do this interview, and thank you for sharing your substantial wisdom with our audience.
Thank you, Stephen. We really appreciate this opportunity to talk to you, and you know, we know how very well respected you are in the IT community, so hopefully your wonderful voice and your wonderful reach to the worldwide community will also help our movement as well.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Elizabeth Vandervelt and Genevieve L'Esperance. These international technology leaders shared their vision for collaboration, driving passion in IT for all ages, and enabling young women into IT, and much, much more.